Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio, where we take you through the main news of the day before 5.30. Coming up, there's been some speculation about what's happening with Ward 4 at Nobles Hospital. We've asked Manx Care the question. We'll have those answers for you shortly. Also today, as the issue of buses is raised once again in the House of Keys, how are decisions about which services to run made? Also in Keys, we heard the Minister without portfolio defend his performance, and 7 marathons in 7 days, won Peel Man's 183-mile challenge, all in aid of the RNLI. We'll also have an update on those noises that people have been hearing around the island as well, and be checking out the traffic and travel, so do stay with us. We'll start with a roundup of today's main news headlines with Lewis Fastamai.
Changes to the UK's immigration policies won't automatically be mirrored here, but will be considered. Government says it's currently reviewing the island's immigration routes and will determine whether the changes are appropriate for our social and economic needs. In an effort to curb net migration, UK Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer plans to ban the recruitment of care workers from overseas, tighten access to skilled worker visas, and raise the costs for employers. Manx Care has denied that Ward 4 at Nobles Hospital, which currently supports gynaecology, fertility and pregnancy care, is closing. There had been speculation online as a new walk-in unit has opened to treat more people in the community. Executive Director of Nursing, Sheila Lloyd.
We can now do interventions at home that we weren't able to do when we built Nobles Hospital.
The Infrastructure Minister says her department doesn't hold precise profitability data for each bus route on the island. It's after criticism of plans to remove the Craigneish bus route under previous Minister Tim Crookall last year because it wasn't financially viable. Michelle Haywood says the data used to make that decision doesn't look at the whole picture. And after 14 years in operation, the family library is set to close at the end of July. In a statement, its directors say the organisation has reached a point where it's losing £100,000 each year and is no longer tenable. In the latest international news, the White House says a deal with Saudi Arabia includes the largest defence sales agreement in history. Donald Trump signed a $600 billion economic partnership on a visit to Riyadh. Ukraine's president says he'll be waiting for Vladimir Putin in Turkey next week. Volodymyr Zelensky's challenged the Russian leader to face-to-face talks about ending their conflict. And a man who spent nearly 40 years in jail for murder has had his conviction quashed, but says he's not angry and not bitter. Peter Sullivan was found guilty over the 1986 killing of Diane Sindall on Merseyside, but new analysis has found his DNA isn't among samples collected at the time. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with the news at 6 o'clock.
Thanks very much indeed, Lewis. So the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing, is going to stay fine this evening, dry and clear tonight. Moderate northeast winds, they'll become stronger in a few places overnight. Minimum temperatures will be around 10. Tomorrow, another dry day, unbroken sunshine. Northeast winds will fall light and it is going to feel quite warm still. Maximum temperatures around 19. And the good news is it will stay like that for the rest of the week. So really settled, lots of warm sunshine. Sunset this evening, 11 minutes past 9. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 5:17.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. contact Bagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bagode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio FM. It's just coming up to 5 past 5. Well, Manx Care has dismissed rumours circulating online about the closure of Ward 4 at Nobles Hospital. It's a ward that provides care for women, fertility and pregnancy patients. And a new walk-in unit has recently opened to help more people be treated in the community without needing to be admitted to hospital. Executive Director of Nursing Sheila Lloyd and Senior Matron Jo Standish says in most cases, staying overnight just isn't necessary.
We are not closing wards in Manx Care Hospital. What we're doing is we're making sure that our patients are in the right place at the right time and importantly with the right people in terms of their subject matter experts, i.e., for example, people who need gynaecology services need to be within our women's and children's service.
I think it's really important to look at pathways that have developed recently. So by listening to our women and looking at their health needs and best practice guidance, we have recently opened a gynaecology ambulatory unit. So as Sheila's said, this is where people are looked after by subject matter experts in the right setting for them, which doesn't necessarily mean a hospital admission, which then benefits the patient.
So Ward 4 is effectively being repurposed if it's not closing. So if it's not going to be used for the things which it's used for at the moment, which is gynecology, pregnancy issues, fertility, menstrual dysfunction, which of those are going to be moved out of Ward 4?
So that will depend on clinical condition. So a patient can be on a certain pathway, but their clinical condition requires an inpatient stay. It might require more intensive treatment. So it really will depend on the patient condition.
I think what's important here is to make sure that people can remain out in the community as much as they can. No one wants to come into hospital unnecessarily. So what we're looking at is how can we do things differently to keep people at home, keep people where they're used to. So, for example, when you bring people into hospital who especially may be frail, because they're not used to that environment, they could end up falling. And then you've got falls problems for individuals and they could fracture hips. So we want to make sure people are in the right place at the right time.
That's Manx Care's Executive Director of Nursing, Sheila Lloyd, and also Senior Matron, Jo Standish. They were on Man in Line, incidentally, with Andy at lunchtime. You can watch that back on our YouTube channel or listen back via the podcast at manxradio.com. 7.5 minutes past 5. The Infrastructure Minister says her department doesn't hold precise profitability data for every bus route on the island. Michelle Hayward, MHK, has been responding to a question in the House of Keys today, and this comes after criticism of plans to remove the Craigneish bus route by the previous Minister Tim Crookall last year because it wasn't financially viable. Well, Dr Hayward says the data used to make that decision doesn't look at the whole picture.
Bus finance is expected to cost approximately £12.4 million to operate this year, whilst passenger revenue is projected at £5.4 million, resulting in a £7 million shortfall. The deficit is covered by taxpayers and reflects the essential social importance of public transport on the island. We don't currently have precise profitability data for each individual route, although we do know that some routes perform better than others. For example, the Douglas to the airport and South route is often cited as commercially strong, particularly during peak times. However, within any given route, some segments and time periods are more commercially viable than the others. The bus network is operated with a strategic and community-focused approach. Routes and services are maintained because they provide essential access for residents and contribute to social inclusion. This is a deliberate policy choice, and we must balance financial sustainability with our public service obligations. We're actively working to improve data collection and analysis. A key goal of the upcoming bus strategy is to implement a detailed route costing process. This will allow us to identify where our subsidies are most heavily applied and help guide future decisions about where public support should be focused.
Mr Glover. Can I ask how a former infrastructure minister was able to say regarding the shutting down of the Craigneish and Sound service that it was based on the fact that it wasn't financially viable?
I think it's possible to generate a fairly simplistic number related to some of the income and the cost of a service. And I think previous comments may have been made that related to just the money that was collected on board the bus and didn't account for any income that should have been apportioned from the various concession cards, explorer cards, etc., to that. To get the true picture, it needs a little bit more data, and income is affected by many things. The number of commuters using prepaid cards is one of them, where the cards are purchased, passengers who have subsidised travel, frequency of service and time of day. So I appreciate that there were figures given out formally. However, I think, as I challenged at the time, those figures are not necessarily to be relied upon.
That's the Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Hayward, answering bus-related questions in Keys today. And just staying with the bus theme, you know, it's really great to see the number of people that are holidaying on the island over the past few days. And we're going to hear from some of those now who are on the cruise ship that came here yesterday, just that in a moment. But first, a regular visitor here is also concerned at the lack of bus services to certain areas.
The only problem is the south of the island is a bit of a transport desert because we can't get from Port Erin to Peel, and now we can't get to Craignish. I know it's an issue at the moment.
No, it's the famous Route 28. That's right. A bit of a contentious
issue. And I've written to the Minister of Transport to say, why don't they lay on a minibus from Douglas down the old road to Castletown and then on to Craignish and then from Port Erin up to Peel? Because there are lots of people who come for walking, as we do, and you can't access the coastal path because there's no transport to the west coast of the island between Port Erin and Peel, and that's the best part of the coastal walk. And it's so difficult to get to. At one time, there was a bus from Port Erin to Peel that went over the tops, and it was so good that you could get to the coastal walk. But now we can't do it, except there's an odd bus during the day to Glenmay, which we use, and then walk to Peel. So I would please ask the Minister of Transport to consider a minibus service, especially for the tourists who come, because lots of us come to the Isle of Man for walking.
Have you found transport on the island? You were saying it was a bit further to get to the steam train than you were told. You were told 5 minutes.
It's taking
you a bit longer.
Yes, definitely.
Especially with walking stick over there and myself struggling.
The weather's nice at the moment.
Beautiful, yeah.
If it had been a bit unpleasant, then it would have been a bit tight. I suppose you wouldn't have come ashore then. Is that a problem to you, having to go too far?
Yeah.
It's a physical problem with his movement. Limited movement.
So.
Right, okay.
No, I won't complain, because it's just lovely to be here.
You're off the cruise liner?
Yes. Yeah.
And you're coming to the steam train?
Yep.
Yes.
Now, I believe you were told it was 5 minutes to the steam train.
That's what they told me.
It's wrong.
It's wrong.
With a cane, it's a lot longer.
You found it a bit of a struggle getting here.
Oh,
yeah.
Big time.
We'll hold the train for you.
Thank you. Is it coming now?
There's a lot of people coming up to the steam train from the ship.
And they're going to have similar problems. They're going
to
find it right away.
Some of them are in wheelchairs and walkers.
They'll get here maybe with a taxi or something, but...
I'd much prefer to have a shuttle.
That was some of the visitors talking to John yesterday about their perception of the bus services over here. Really interesting to get that point of view. 5:12. Now, we've had an update from Manx Utilities in the past 20 minutes to say they're aware of an electricity fault. It's affecting properties in the Mackald area. So if you're heading home there, there could be some issues with your supply. Engineers are on site. They will restore supply as soon as possible. They do warn supply may go on and off while the fault is located. So hopefully, if you are heading to Mackald or in the Mackald area, you will get that memo from the Manx Utilities, and they're really good to update their social media pages as soon as the fault is fixed. So we were talking on yesterday's programme about the bangs that people have been hearing at certain points around the island. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who's taken the time to contact us about this. Among those yesterday was an email from Daphne, who lives in the east of the island. And she says they've been hearing these house shaking booms over the past week or so in the Doon, Mackald and Laxey area. And she also says she noticed them when she was on maternity leave 20 years ago. So they are pretty regular. What we understand now, it's military related, and the current high pressure seems to make them travel further. So that's why they're being widely heard across the Isle of Man. There's a site called Quinetic. I'm probably saying that wrong, but it's spelt Q-I-N-E-T-I-Q. And that carries out work on behalf of the MOD under contract with the UK Secretary of State for Defence. Naturally, because of the nature of this work, they say they're limited to the level of detail and information that they can provide. But there is firing scheduled all this week during the day. And if you go to their website, it details when the firing is taking place. A statement on the website says all activity on the site is conducted in a strictly controlled environment, presenting no danger to the public. They say the weather, tide times and other operational requirements play a crucial role in the trials, planning and scheduling. And any one or a combination of those factors may mean activity has to be cancelled or rescheduled at short notice, and they might not be able to provide an update schedule of their work. If you're there, The flying of red flags at the range boundary or yellow flags at further points indicate to members of the public that the range is active and there will be firing activities taking place. And at those times, the bylaws noted on the signs near to the flags are in force. If the red or yellow flags aren't flying, the range isn't active and there will be no firing activities taking place. They say that they do carry out this work on behalf of the MOD under contract with the Secretary of State. And hopefully that clears up the issue of those noises which many of you have been hearing.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So nothing specifically road-related on the police pages this evening. Just watch out for those traffic lights. And as I say, not really a traffic thing, but that electricity disruption in the Mackled area expected to carry on for a little while yet. As I look out the window, I can see the Manxman just sweeping into Douglas Bay. The Mananan is on its way here as well. And then the Manxman will be heading out again to Heysham at 7:45 and the Mananan heading to Liverpool at 7:15 and all looking good down at the airport as well.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It's just gone 5:15. Now, the Minister without portfolio has been defending his performance in the role. This position, you might remember, it was created last year with the task of implementing efficiencies across government. It was given to Tim Crookall instead of his previous role as Infrastructure Minister. And he's been telling Keys today what savings have actually been made since his appointment.
The digital pillar is already making changes to our services. We have a significant number of efficiency projects now identified to deliver against the £10 million savings target for this financial year. In the coming weeks, we will also be working hard to overhaul the gov.in to improve the way people access our information and services and how we can see savings amounting to many millions, hopefully, of pounds being made possible. In terms of the contract and procurement pillar, savings totalling more than £800,000 have already been identified, with one recent example being the recent telecoms contract renewal and a business case which has recently been approved that will automate checks around the contract awarding, which will generate efficiencies but also reduce the risk of incorrect payments being made.
Mrs. Court.
I'd just like to ask the Minister, how much influence has the Minister had on the list of efficiencies he's just announced? And would these be happening without a Minister, without portfolio in position?
Yeah.
Mr. Speaker, the question is, what savings or efficiencies have been identified since his appointment? And I don't think we've had an answer.
There are areas of this which are not my strengths, which is, you know, as I've said before, from the digital side of things, and that's obviously been led by the GTS. But I'm working with Treasury and hopefully with DOI coming up, and we'll be looking at my view is over the assets of the island, my time spent at DOI and now overseeing this. And if I can pick any examples, I don't really particularly want to, but certainly in the assets, there are assets that have been sitting around, not been used, that should have been sold off many years ago or been used for much better reasons or purposes than what they are being at the moment. And I will be pushing to make those sure those are used or sold off, because they're absolutely useless and costing the DOI minister and her department a lot of money to upkeep those when actually we don't use them, we should be getting rid of them.
That is the Minister without portfolio, Tim Crookall, answering a question there from Anne Corlett, MHK. 5:17. Are you planning on travelling to Northern Ireland with your pet this summer? If you are, there are new rules coming into force next month that you need to be aware of. Lewis has the details.
From the 4th of June, pets must be microchipped, be vaccinated against rabies, have a valid animal health certificate or EU pet passport, and enter via a recognised traveller's point of entry. Dogs must also be treated for tapeworm. These changes, government says, are part of the UK's implementation of the Windsor Framework, which aims to streamline post-Brexit trade and movement of goods and animals. Checks will also take place at airports, and pet owners must pre-notify the airport if they are travelling with an animal. While scheduled commercial flights from the Isle of Man don't currently allow pets, those travelling by private aircraft must comply with the same rules. Meanwhile, the Steam Packet is working closely with government to make sure people travelling with the ferry operator to Belfast are aware of the upcoming changes. Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister Claire Barber says the introduction of routine checks represents a significant change for pet owners and is strongly urging people to plan ahead to avoid disruption or distress. Please speak to your vet, she says, in good time and check official guidance before you travel. Pet owners travelling by ferry must report for checks at sanitary facilities in Belfast upon their arrival. Temporary facilities are currently in place in Belfast at Duncrew Street, with permanent inspection sites expected to open in July. A new lifelong pet travel document is being introduced for pet owners in England, Scotland and Wales under the Northern Ireland Pet Travel Scheme, but this does not currently apply to Isle of Man residents who must continue to follow EU pet travel rules. You can find more information via manxradio.com.
Lewis reporting there. Coming up to 20 past five, Isle of Man Cricket has said they're looking into youth participation after the 2025 Manx Youth Games at the weekend. They saw over 90 kids taking part in the event, but say only around 20 to 30 continue to play over the summer, with most part of a club already. Cricket Development Officer Greg Wright says the planned new centre will hopefully help keep players.
It's a great day for cricket. It's a great day for kids on the island. And for us, it's a really, really important part of the development of cricket, because having those under seven, under eight, under nines, that's where our growth and interest starts and the love of cricket is basically fostered. We do keep a note of who's on the Manx Youth Games through their contacts, and then we email out to them regularly and try and get them to go into clubs, but it's something that we're still investigating how we can make it work to get all of those kids into clubs and playing on a regular basis.
What do you think that reason is? Why do you think it is that there's not so many following up on the interest in the Youth Games and going into clubs over the summer?
Not sure, and if I had the answer, I don't know, because we've looked at that. If you think of team sports over the winter, rugby, football, hockey, A lot of people playing all those sports, whereas we are predominantly mainly the only team sport over the summer. I think it's just there's a lot to do on the island, and once the sun comes out, there's a lot of opportunities, a lot of things to do, and then with going away for summer holidays and then the TT, our season's actually relatively quite short. We're talking, if you take with the schools, when they break up, so starting in May, take a break out for TT, you've got about 8 weeks. And then if you take into the 6 weeks holidays, 14 weeks for the senior season. So it's not the longest.
Last week, you announced plans for a new cricket centre, a year-round cricket centre. Would that help maybe in kids playing the sport maybe over summer if they were starting it in winter as well?
We're hoping so, because then we can do some of the delivery of the Manx Youth Games in the centre, and then we have a base for cricket 12 months of the year. And there's a lot of sports, a lot of cricket modified games that you can play inside, not just the training element. Indoor cricket, we're setting ourselves up for that as well, and that's a great fun way to start, quick, fast, short, and that seems to be what people want nowadays, just the shorter hits rather than being outside for 7.5 hours playing 40 overs.
That is Cricket Development Officer Greg Wright, who was talking to Darren Timpson there. I remember the first cricket match I ever went to watch that my son was in, and it took about 4.5 hours, which I was like, it was a surprise, I'll be honest, but a very pleasant afternoon out in the sun. 21 minutes past five, Appeal Athlete is set to start a gruelling fundraising challenge this weekend. Veteran runner Jeff Rice is taking on 7 marathons in 7 days, and each one will consist of 5 laps up and around Peel Hill. I'm exhausted just thinking about it. Ben went along to catch up with Jeff and find out how he's feeling ahead of this challenge, which, as we say, getting underway on Saturday.
7 days, one marathon every day, 5.2 miles per lap. So 5 laps, and that's 10 climbs to the tower every day. So space of that week, that's a lot of climbing. Hopefully legs will sort it out, but basically it's 183 miles for the week. If my legs go that far, hopefully.
Now, you're an experienced runner, so how confident are you feeling at this point?
Well, to be honest with you, every confidence, the only thing is, because I've never done a marathon followed by another marathon, I've got to just recover, get the recovery. I've got to learn that now. I've done a few recovery ones, I've done a few races, so as long as I get the recovery, when I come out there, straight in the water, ice water, get in there for 20 minutes, get the food in me, next day, get going again. I've done no special training for it, because I run all year, I train all year round, nothing special for this. All my training is done on Peel Hill, so that's a bonus. It's a case of just, when I'm doing it, I have to make sure I'm right for the next one.
And Peel Hill, that's quite a grueling climb, isn't it? There are some, there are some steep bits there.
There is some steep bits. Even just the first bit, when you're going from the Fenella Beach and you drop down to the farm, that's a steady climb. Don't realise, but it is a steady climb.
From the Caleb Beg up to Corrin's Tower, that's...
Well, you know,
that's,
Ben, we've done that a few times, haven't we?
You pushed me up there a few times, haven't you? And, and it's tough.
It's a slog. It is a slog.
So like you say, no special training then. I mean, you're out all the time. No, you're never in, are you? You're always out running. But I mean, you've done various marathons, you've done many marathons and big events over the years. But this is a bit different.
Yes, it's going to be different, all right. Yeah, I've done 13 marathons on the road. I think it's 10 now ultra marathons. Longest I've done in a race was last year at Lake Windermere, was 48 miles. But this is doing it like day after day.
And you're raising money for the RNLI. So just tell us, Jeff, why you've chosen the lifeboat. Obviously very sort of dear to all our hearts on the island down in Peel.
Like I say, all my training's on the hill. So the amount of times on Sunday I've been out there, I've seen the lifeboat doing the training sessions, or I've seen the fishermen coming in and going out. I've got to do it for the lifeboat. I'm a Peel lad, born and bred. If I raise £20, if I raise £5,000, it's going to save someone's life. Just sum it back to the community.
Isn't that incredible? Jeff Rice talking to Ben there. Never mind pushing up the hill. They'd have to push me up in a wheelbarrow. You can find a link to Jeff's Just Giving page at manxradio.com. That first marathon getting underway on Saturday, and we wish him all the very best. Coming up to 25 past five, Rob's here now with the sport.
Fast am I. Well, we're going to start with motorsport because in the last half an hour, we've heard TT competitor Craig Neave is recovering well after a crash at last week's Northwest 200 in Northern Ireland. Well, Neave suffered a number of chest injuries during the first Supersport qualifying session and was airlifted to the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast and placed into a medically induced coma until he stabilised. Well, in an update, it's been confirmed the rider has since been woken from that induced coma and has been moved from intensive care to another ward. His team, Batham's AJN Racing, is thanking marshals and medical staff both trackside and at the hospital for taking care of Neave and, in their words, delivering the highest standard of support anyone could wish for. Well, separately, the team adds it will announce updated plans for this year's TT in due course. In football, Maloo AFC has begun its search for a new first-team manager. The Southern club says it's looking for someone to take up the position with immediate effect. The Clackvane-based side adds it can offer a number of incentives, including a supportive club and committee infrastructure and financial support towards coaching qualifications. Well, anyone interested in applying is invited to get in touch with Maloo AFC via its social media channels. Also in football, the final week of the 24-25 Isle of Man football season will take place over the next few days. It'll include three cup finals in the space of a week. But before those, it's the final match of the Canada Life Men's Premier League tonight at Billy Goat Park as Foxdale host Ayr United. A win for Foxdale would see them move up two places to finish fifth, whilst Ayr United will remain second regardless of the result. Well, that match is due to get underway tonight at 6:30 p.m. And finally, husband and wife Andrew and Clara Isaac have taken top honours during the 2025 Isle of Man Sprint Triathlon in Ramsey. The duo took first place in the open and women's races respectively, with Mr. Isaac completing the course in 57 minutes 47 seconds to win the open and overall event. Meanwhile, Mrs. Isaac won the female race with a time of 1 hour 7 minutes and 18 seconds, which also placed her 13th overall.
Wow, there are just so many very fit people on the island doing incredible things.
It does make you tired just thinking about it.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Have you ever done a marathon?
I haven't, no, and I don't have any plans to either.
All right, just checking. Could have signed you up for one there. Thank you very much indeed, Rob. That is all from Update tonight. Thank you so much for your company. Lots to come on Manx Radio, though, throughout this evening. And up next, it's an Island Life special, and this is about the 80th anniversary of VE Day, which has been marked here in the past week. Then Chris Kinney will be here with Greatest Hits from 6 p.m. John Barker has the Folk Show from 9, and then Dave Moore will bring you After Hours from 10. Whatever you're doing this evening, do get out there and try and enjoy some of this sunshine. Isn't it gorgeous? I tell you, the view across Douglas Bay at the moment is absolutely spectacular. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.